It's a Wednesday evening on WEOL, and that means one thing and one thing only. It is the Kobos Insurance Center Wrestling Show presented by Century 21 Deanna Realty. I'm Rocco Nushi, joined as always by Sean Bennett of the Chronicle Telegram. Sean, how are we doing, man?
Doing good. Every time I come on here, I talk about the week of that particular week of the wrestling season and how exciting it is or this and that. I'll tell you, Rocco, this week is the most enlightening week for me as far as high school wrestling goes, in between the sectional and district, because after you get done with the sectional tournament, I'm covering it and I'm writing down all these names, nearly 100 names in the county of guys who are able to advance out of the sectional to the district. Next week this time, I'll be looking at just, a dozen or to two dozen guys who make it to the next level. So it's so opened your eyes to how difficult it is to get down to the state tournament in high school wrestling. And that's what I kind of think about when we're sitting in between sectionals and districts every year.
Well, you kind of mentioned the numbers that you'll be looking at next week in terms of how many guys you'll be evaluating. And it's certainly much more than that this week, right? The notes that you sent to me, you've got like 1,000,001 guys underlined, right? All, district qualifiers, some sectional champions in here as well. So a lot to go over here on the Wrestling Recap Show. We'll be joined later in the program by Sean Bristow over there at Midview. We'll see what the Mid-East wrestling program is up to and who is performing well over there. So lots to dive into here throughout the program. Sean also has some somewhat breaking news for us to relay as the show moves along. So we'll get to that and much, much more. We'll step aside, take our first break quickly here because, again, lots to go over when we get back. So don't go anywhere. It's the Kobos Insurance Center Wrestling Show presented by Century 21 Deanna Realty. We're on AM 930. 100.3 FM, and we're online over at WEOL.com. Welcome back on in. It's the Kobos Insurance Center Wrestling Show presented by Century 21 Deanna Realty. You know, Sean, it's kind of funny. I saw a tweet the other day talking about, it was a girl roughly my age. She said someone younger than them approached them and was like, "Hey, you ever heard of this old school band called Green Day?" Isn't that crazy that there's people who are like, "Oh, yeah, Green Day, old school."
Well, I mean, to be honest with you, I remember listening to them while I was in high school. So at this point, I probably guess they are a kind of a classic rock band.
I guess so, huh?
Where they went from punk rock to classic rock, so who knows?
I was trying to make myself feel younger this segment here, Sean, and you're over here just
I remember when Dookie came out. I was like, I think a sophomore in high school.
Okay.
It was back in the 80s. They were definitely... Or no, you know what? It might have been actually 90s. I'm trying to... The memories kind of fade and meld together a little bit.
Sure.
When you get up there in years. So, yeah. But I do remember listening to them when I was quite young.
Okay. Yeah, I got a couple of buddies who are big Green Day fans, so... Always good to have a little Green Day in there. Again, it's the Kobos Insurance Center Wrestling Show presented by Century 21 Deanna Realty. Rocco Nushi, Sean Bennett here with you. Sean Bristow from Midview will be joining us next segment to let us know what the middies have been up to lately. And a couple of different things to go over this segment here. Sean, I know we have a couple of sectional champions to go through, a bunch of district qualifiers you have, and obviously we won't go over everybody individually, but I guess something that kind of jumps off the page to me looking at these notes that you have here, a couple of different wrestlers bringing in their 100th win with their sectional final victory.
Yeah, and how special is it to get your 100th career win in the sectional final, winning a sectional championship, as both these guys did? That's got to be pretty special. I kind of mentioned the information on this week's episode of the Matt Report, and the two guys are Elyria Senior Colin Knoll and Wellington Junior Jeremiah McKee. Again, what I said about was really impressive about Colin Knoll is that he didn't even start for Elyria the first 2 years of his high school career. So he was only a regular starter in the lineup as a junior and a senior. But he did enough spot starts and wrestled enough throughout the course of the two freshman and sophomore seasons to be able to accumulate those 100 wins, which is really impressive. And then Jeremiah McKee, he's a returning state qualifier. He's just been a high-level guy. As soon as he burst on the scene as a freshman, I think he came in his freshman season state ranked, which is almost unheard of. Only a handful of guys get to do that. So those two guys really had a very special weekend by winning sectional championships and picking up win number 100 in the final.
Elyria had a good number of sectional champions here, and just a couple of names that have become very familiar to me as we've done this show each and every week. You've got Nate Burnett, Jake Evans, Enrique Munguia all in there doing well. So Elyria performing pretty well at the sectionals.
Yeah, 7 sectional champions, 11 through to the districts. Like I said in a tweet earlier this week, that's just Elyria doing Elyria things in the postseason. I mean, they just they get it done every year. Again, it's going to be a little bit tougher going at the Perrysburg District next weekend because St. Edward joins the field, which is the number one ranked Division I program in the state, nationally ranked. They're definitely going to provide a tough test for a lot of the Elyria wrestlers. You got Perrysburg, Oregon Clay joining the group. So it's going to be a little bit tougher going there because a lot of good wrestlers are joining those brackets. But Elyria's going to try to get down, as many as they can. I think the over-under by Josh Lowe was 5.5. So he's thinking somewhere about 5 or 6 guys might be able to get down out of the 11.
Wow.
Who knows? We'll see. But, very impressive. And of those 7 sectional champions, you mentioned some of the guys that everybody kind of knows and expected those things from. Kind of the story for Elyria was Alex Green. I kind of wrote about him in my lead. He's a sophomore. He was kind of the backup this year to Riley Banya. She was the starter at 106 and kind of got to wrestle in her state tournament, a couple weeks ago. Stepped aside. They didn't even have a wrestle off. She just kind of said Alex has should have the opportunity to wrestle in a postseason like she got to. Alex just goes in there as the number 5 seed and wins the whole thing. Beat the number 4 seed in his opener, Jake Zick of Avon Lake, pinned him, then won a tough 9-8 match. I think he got a late score takedown or reversal, I can't remember, but beat the top seed Ryan Trowbridge of Amherst. He's a freshman who was undefeated. He basically handed that kid his first high school loss.
Wow.
In the sectional tournament in the semifinals at sectionals, and then he pinned the number 2 seed John Foy of Avon in the final. So just an amazing performance by that young man.
Has to be feeling pretty good about himself after the weekend, huh? Wow, very impressive stuff there without question. So Elyria doing Elyria things, as you mentioned. That's a good way to phrase that. Kind of moving down the line here, looking at the Division II level, again, some names that have been familiar. Ruben Pina Lorenzana, you've been high on him pretty much all season. But Keystone as well, performing pretty well at the D2 level here.
Yeah, they were our top Division II program with getting 7 guys out. So there's 14 weight classes. That means half their team is going to moving on to the district tournament. And the thing that to remember here is that Keystone, Clearview, Firelands, and Brookside, 4 of our 5 Division II teams in the county, are going to the Perry District this year instead of the Norwalk District. Vermilion is still going to the Norwalk District because Vermilion is technically a Northwest school, and Norwalk is the Northwest District tournament. But those other 4 schools have opted to go to the Northeast District this year, and that's because a lot of the top Northeast schools are headed to Norwalk this year. They flipped over, so those schools are going to have a little bit easier time than what they were used to in the past, or at least easier than it could have been if those schools had stayed at the Northeast District. And I said the other thing is those 4 schools also have a lot of returning talent and new talent, like you got Keystone's Tristan Green, Firelands has Kevin Williams and Caden King. A couple, those are all freshmen who are just burst onto the scene this year. So they're kind of up this year, Division II in Lorain County as far as talent goes. So I expect maybe, I don't want to overstate this, but I think we're going to have our best haul of state qualifiers out of Division II, maybe since I've been covering high school wrestling for the last 20-plus years. We're about to see some really good things, I think, at this tournament because of those 2 factors.
Wow, what a claim. What a claim from Sean Bennett right there. But, I mean, that's a great claim, right? That means programs moving in the right direction in our area,
well,
right?
Well, and everyone's got, got some studs, too. I mean, Brookside, Eric Sadler, he has been really consistent. He's a good wrestler. He's going on to wrestling college. Firelands, as we mentioned, Ruben Pina Lorenzana won a sectional championship. You got Kevin Williams, Caden King, those top level freshmen. Clearview, you've got David Fitzpatrick, who's been real good stud in the area. Sherrod Bullard's had a good season late in the second half of the season. Keystone has 3 sectional champs in Tristan Green, Jose Morales, and Nick Hickman. You just have real good guys on each one of those teams that really have a shot of maybe making it through, or at least making some noise and trying to get at least to that go-to match, whether it be in the semifinals on the top part of the bracket or down in the consolation semifinals on the low side of the bracket.
All right. Well, kind of wrapping up this segment here, Sean, looking at the Division III level now. We kind of talked about Jeremiah McKee over there at Wellington, what he was able to do. Anyone else at the D3 level kind of jump off the page here for you?
Well, obviously, Cole Schulke of Columbia won a sectional championship as well. Jeremiah McKee and Wellington. So Wellington and Columbia both put five through. But Black River actually was our high Division III getter with six district qualifiers. And the story down there was definitely Black River heavyweight Travis Owen. He's a junior. He went into that bracket and basically pinned his way to a sectional title at 285. And that's not really surprising. The surprising thing was that he pinned Ashtabula St. John's Ryan Elrod in the final in 3 minutes and 25 seconds, and Elrod's ranked number 4 in the state. And Travis Owen is unranked. So that was just an amazing, you know, upset performance. Probably not for him and the people who know him. You know, he's been, I think he's 21-1 now with 17 pins and 3 forfeits. So 20 of his 21 wins have all gotten max points for the program. So he's been doing that all year. But a lot of people outside of the program probably wouldn't have gave him much of a chance in that match, and he went in there and dominated.
Wow, yeah, I can tell you were a little hesitant to just throw upset out there, and that's probably why, right? It may be statewide not as well known, but locally for sure, and especially over there at Black River, like, they know clearly what Travis is all about. So.
Yeah, it's obviously a huge quality win, so...
Yeah, very good stuff there. Very good stuff. Well, we'll leave that there. Congratulations again to our different sectional champions there as, you know, the qualifiers continue to move along through the postseason here. We'll step aside. When we come back, we'll be checking in with Midview head coach Sean Bristow, see what the middies are up to. That's coming up next right here on the Cobos Insurance Center Wrestling Show, presented by Century 21 Deanna Realty. We're on AM 930, 100.3 FM, and we're online over at WEOL.com. Welcome back on in. It's the Cobos Insurance Center Wrestling Show, presented by Century 21 Deanna Realty. Rocco Nushi, Sean Bennett here with you this evening. And right now, we'll turn things over to the hotline and welcome in a very special guest from Midview, head coach of the Middies Wrestling Program. It is Coach Sean Bristow. Coach, thank you so much for joining us here this evening. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Hey, Coach, obviously wanted to start with the sectional tournament. You guys hosted it this week. I on this week's episode of the Matt Report, I kind of definitely talked about my thoughts of the sectional being the first time with the split sessions, things like that. Kind of wanted to find out what you thought about it going, you know, obviously for those who don't know, you guys wrestled two sessions, 106 to 145 in the morning, 152 to heavyweight at night, and wrestled the complete brackets for those seven weights in two separate sessions. How'd you think it went?
It went good. You know, at first we were a little skeptical, and then as it was kind of rolling, you know, we were proud of it. And, you know, thanks to all the workers that helped out, and, you know, Dan Hornbeck and our athletic director, they did a wonderful job running it. It was pretty smooth, and it was kind of a long day, but we thought it went really well, and it worked out pretty good, actually.
Yeah, I said the same. I thought it was really run smooth. It didn't feel much different than a regular sectional day to me. And I thought you kind of get the advantage, at least for the few that got to do it, like the coaches and myself, who got to stay for both sessions. You're almost getting like two wrestling tournaments in one.
I agree with you, Sean. I thought it was, I felt like, kept telling my coaches, like, hey, I felt like we just coached one tournament, and then here's another tournament starting. So I felt like two tournaments in one.
And obviously a great showing by Lorain County. Again, I said say that with a tongue in cheek because 7 of the 9 programs there are from Lorain County, but just a really good haul of county guys moving on to the Perrysburg District. 6 from Midview. I don't know what you expected. I know this has been kind of an odd season with COVID protocols, and I know you've got a young team and don't really have a star guy like you did last season. But 6 guys through. 5 of them are underclassmen. You got to feel pretty good about what you guys were able to accomplish this weekend.
Of course, yes. We were really, really happy with the guys, how they performed and wrestled. And, you know, going in, you know, the coaching staff, we didn't think we were going to have that many guys. And they stepped up. They wrestled hard. We had a couple good weeks of practice because we did have some COVID issues. And the guys really wrestled well. And we were super happy with 6 for sure. You know, and like you said, Sean, they're a young group. So we got to keep rolling in the off season to try to build on this and get the guys, you know, down the state again and stuff like that.
And the thing I really like about it is the the weight classes are well spread. You got Austin Dye at 220 and Dylan Bell at 285, so they can kind of work together down in Perrysburg and next season because they'll be back. You got Tyler Dye, Devin Vandal, Avery Snyder, and Gabe Bohr all between 120, 145, so they can work together to prepare for districts, and three of those four are back next year. That's got to be nice having those guys, you know, not just like a 285 and a 106 going or something where it makes it a little bit more difficult.
Right, yeah. You know, and in the past, without the COVID, we would go to different schools. But like you said, with the guys being so close in weight and being drill partners, we're able to train with them together. And, you know, usually you look at a team like, oh, this kid made it at, you know, 132. And usually it's either the 126 or the 138 that makes it too, because it's you know, they're training and they're wrestling and making each other better. So we're fortunate to have those four guys down low and then the two big guys up top.
And obviously looking forward to Perrysburg this weekend. You're going to have Friday, Saturday, two-day tournament, but they are again doing the split sessions. I believe they're doing two championships and two consolations on Friday, the 106 to 145, and then again the 152 to 285 in two separate sessions, and then doing completion in two sessions on Saturday. Now that you've gone through it once at sectionals, what did you kind of learn, and what did you kind of have to do to prepare for that, and what you'll be able to take forward this week and be a little more comfortable in that situation?
You know, just knowing that the sectional went well and it's kind of set up the same way, we're confident that it's going to go well again. But we've been actually struggling on, you know, do we bring the alternates, do we not? Because I'm not sure if you know all the guidelines. It's if the alternates do not get in, they cannot come into the tournament unless they're in on the bracket. So what do we, you know, we drive out all the way to Perrysburg, almost 2 hours away, and then our two alternates don't get in. What do they do? You know, go right home. How are they getting home? We can't leave them in the parking lot, so it's very challenging on some of the things they're doing. I know they're not letting administrators in. If you're knocked out of the tournament, you can't even come back on Saturday to watch the rest of the bracket finish. So it's going to be challenging. Wood County has been hit pretty hard, so they definitely have some more guidelines that we have to follow. So we're trying to work all those logistics out now as a coaching staff.
And I think it's a good news, bad news situation on that other thing you mentioned about if you're knocked out the first day, you don't get to come back, because I noticed that Perrysburg District's a little different than most district tournaments in that they're wrestling two consolation rounds on Friday. Most are just doing two championship and one consolation round. But by doing the second consolation round, they're effectively eliminating half of the 16-man bracket on day one, which they did, I guess, because on day two, each wrestler is going to be able to increase their fan attendance from two per wrestler to four per wrestler. But that also creates problems, I guess, because now two people in the family drive down on Saturday, or do they just stay on come Friday and then are able to get in Saturday? Or I don't know how that's going to work.
Right. That's the same questions we're having. We have tons of questions. I actually contacted the tournament director, asked about our stat person getting in, and you know, they're not even really allowed to come in either. And it kind of depends on with coaching. Like if you have 5 to 9 wrestlers, you get four passes. So we have four coaches. So there's our four right there, you know. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting. Like you said, there's pros and cons about them having two consolation rounds on Friday night. It's kind of bad for our young guys because they were excited about a hotel. Every year we get a hotel with a swimming pool and stuff like that. And sometimes this is nice for the kids to get out of the house and enjoy that also. But, yeah, two consolations Friday, and, you know, some guys are going to be out.
Well, I know the district tournaments always come out the next day after sections, that Sunday. So you've had a couple of days to pour over them. Any guys that you're really excited about where they landed in their bracket and feel like they are, if they wrestle their best, they really have a good shot this weekend?
Yeah, you know, I think we got some tough draws and we got some good draws. Tyler Dyer, a 120-pounder, you know, he's one of our tougher guys. I think he has a good draw. He's going to have a good first round. Kid from Anthony Wayne, he's solid. But I think it could go either way. If he wrestles offensively and scores, puts points on the board, I think we can get that into the quarterfinals and maybe against that St. Ignatius kid, not saying he's going to win for sure, but maybe looks like that. And I think he can get the Ignatius kid round two. But we got to go one match at a time. I know you know that, Sean.
Mm-hmm.
And our 220, Austin Dye, Tyler's brother, he has actually a pretty decent draw. He's wrestled that Parma kid in a dual match this year. It was 0-0 third period. We went down, and the kid actually ended up turning us and pinning us. So I think his ability level is right with that 220 from Parma. And if he wins that, he might have either the Falls kid, and I can't remember who the other one was. And I think he can maybe go with those guys too. So we'll see. One match at a time, and we wish for the best for the wrestlers.
Hey, one match at a time. That is the motto for many moving forward. So, Coach Bristow, thank you very much for joining us here this afternoon. We appreciate your time as always. Best of luck to you and your guys moving forward the rest of the way.
All right. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Coach.
And there he goes, Coach Sean Bristow from Midview. And just kind of interesting getting a couple of different thoughts there from Coach on the way things shook out. He was actually their site was hosting the event there. So some cool thoughts there from Coach Bristow. Before we get out of here, Sean, though, a couple of different things that I teased at the beginning of the show. You kind of had to remind me to get to them, but here we are. Some breaking news here, Sean. I guess we can start some news out of Columbia.
Yeah. We just this afternoon they kind of found out that they qualified four guys after the Independence sectional, and now they have five going into the district brackets because David Olekasak, 113 pounds, he was the district alternate, is going to be actually replacing Hanoverton United's Logan Casto, who was the number four seed out of the Rootstown sectional, another Northeast sectional, because Casto was unable to go for the district tournament. In talking to Coach Giuliani, the Columbia coach, sounds like Casto had to default right through that bracket, so he maybe got hurt in his opening match, couldn't compete because he basically defaulted all the way through, and just that injury looks like it might hamper him and not be able to go through. They only had actually four wrestlers in that bracket, so they didn't have an alternate to replace him, so that's why they go to another district alternate in the Northeast. So congrats to David and the Columbia program for advancing through the district tournament.
Yeah, absolutely. Hanoverton United. I can't say I have heard of Hanoverton United. It sounds more like a soccer team over there in England, right?
Right. Put a little FC behind that.
The other piece of breaking news that you had for us here this afternoon involves Elyria head wrestling coach Eric Burnett, a friend of the show.
Right. They just put a release out that Eric Burnett has been named by the OHSAA the Division I Coach of the Year. So, obviously, a great honor, a well-deserved honor. Anybody who knows what Eric Burnett does with the Elyria kids, and obviously any kids outside the area, a lot of Lorain County kids, a lot of Ohio kids, a lot of kids from out of state come to his camps in the summertime. So well-deserved, I believe. This is a second or third time he was actually named the OHSA Coach of the year I won the Media Service Award down in Columbus. So we got to stand there in our suits under the spotlight out in front of 18,000 people and get our award. So it was a really memorable moment for me. It was awesome that I got to do it that night with him. So he's going to be back on those mats again, getting another well-deserved award. So congratulations to him.
So you'll wear a suit for an award, but you won't wear a suit for the wrestling radio show here, Sean. Unbelievable. I get an Incredibles long sleeve t-shirt. It's a very nice shirt, by the way.
I won't wear a suit for anything, so don't feel bad. I think I burned that suit after that award. So no, it's not my style. And yes, as I said before we went on the air, I wore this incredible shirt because I knew we were going to put on an incredible show. So I just wanted to play the part. So
goes.
And everybody knows the Bennetts. They know we're a huge Disney family. So I probably own about 150 pieces of Disney clothing, so it's not a surprise to find me walking in the studio with something Disney related on.
150?
Yeah, probably.
Wow-wee.
That's conservative estimate, actually.
That's impressive stuff there. Hey, well, congrats again to Elyria head wrestling coach Eric Burnett. Very well deserved there. He was one of the first names I was told to learn when I started here at WEOL as far as the wrestling coverage went. You got to learn Eric Burnett over at Elyria. So I've certainly become familiar with Coach Burnett. Very good guy and excellent coach, so well deserved award there. All right, Sean, that just about does it for this week. We will be back next week with another show. But for this week, a special thanks goes to, again, Midview Wrestling Coach Sean Bristow, kind enough to give us some time here this evening. So for Sean Bennett, I'm Rocco Nucci. Thanks to you, the listeners, for tuning into yet another episode of the Cobos Insurance Center Wrestling Show, presented by Century 21 Deanna Realty. Have a safe evening. We'll see you all next Wednesday.